We'll start with Commissioner questions and comments, and we'll start with Commissioner Johnson.
Thank you, Chair. So I'm going to read from the Caltrans cost overrun, which was in the remarks here. As implementing agency for construction of the project, Caltrans is responsible for managing, emphasis, the cost of construction, support, and project staffing. It's become evident that the construction support budget provided to the RTC at the time was underestimated. Why is that our problem? Why is the RTC responsible for the fact that Caltrans reviewed this, they made their estimates, and now they're coming back to this body and our taxpayers to subsidize their, I'm not going to say mismanagement, but it's, you know, they obviously did not do the proper calculations. Why should this body subsidize them?
I could take a stab at it, but I also have David Seilerberger from Caltrans. I have the project manager, Madeline Jacobson, and I also have the construction senior, Jorge Ubikawa, here to help answer some of the detailed questions if the commission has. But essentially, we are the sponsor agency. We have an agreement with the CTC to accept the Solutions for Congested Corridors funds, and if the project goes over budget, we can't go back to the CTC to ask for additional congested corridors funds. And that's spelled out in our agreement. We're the project sponsor, so unfortunately, we're responsible for the cost overruns.
Does our executive director, I read somewhere where there's negotiations that happen here. Talk a little bit about how negotiations go with Caltrans and what do we have any... do we just have to write out a check for $3 million, or is there any sort of wiggle room?
So there's an attempt to verify and to go into detail about what the projected costs are going to be, and to see how those are being ascertained, and look at the detail. And Sarah and Madeline and Caltrans have gone into extensive amount of detail of reviewing that, but. At the end of the day, we're on the hook for the cost increase. So we're not in a strong negotiating position.
Okay, fair enough.
Commissioner Rodkin, did you have a question?
I just wanted to know who's responsible for the earmark that we have on this?
I'm sorry, for the what?
The earmark that we got?
The earmark. Who's responsible for that? It was a federal earmark that was assigned to the Morrissey Soquel project. And it was left over, and we had requested to the feds to, instead of giving the money back, if we could use it for another project, and they accepted that.
So there's not an individual Congress member who's a sponsor of this earmark?
Oh, goodness. Maybe Sam Farr, Luis, or Grace? Okay, Sam Farr.
Yeah. We don't know. I'm sorry.
Sam Farr.
It is. That goes back that far.
Yes.
Thank you. when we get to the final motion, I'd like to add send him a thank you.
Commissioner Schifrin?
Yes, I wanted to follow up on Commissioner Johnson's concern. First, to say that cost overruns seem to be a way of life on these large construction projects. And as I will remind the commissioners, when we have to face cost overruns on the rail trail, we face major cost, significant cost overruns for the highway projects as well. This is not the first time this has happened, and it may not be the last time even for this project. Before asking about what the specific cost overruns are for, I wanted to just say that I remember having the same problem when the Highway 1 Fishhook project was done, where essentially it's a state highway, so Caltrans is responsible for doing the construction, but actually we're on the hook because we asked for the project. We want to have the We want to see the project done, and we requested the funding from the CTC to cover the state costs. And I think the passage of the original Measure D that allowed us to provide, the local funds really made these projects happen. But it is a weird situation where, on the one hand, it's our project. We're also ultimately responsible for the financing, but we don't really control the construction. And so I want to, what we can do is ask our staff whether in their in terms of their knowledge and their involvement with Caltrans staff, whether they agree that these cost overruns are necessary and really were unavoidable. Because it's not surprising that once you get out there and you start digging up the ground, you're going to find things that you didn't expect, and things can get more complicated than the original plans would indicate. So the fact that there are cost overruns is certainly nothing new. But I think it is, especially when we're talking about the overruns and the kind of magnitude that seem to be involved here, that we get some, since we're the commission's needing to pay for it, that the commission really gets a more detail about what is the justification for these, the expenditure of the additional money. Where do these cost overruns come from?
So the question, the main question I got is, are the costs necessary and unavoidable? So the RTC staff has requested additional information from Caltrans. We're still waiting for that information in order to substantiate all of the costs to date to the project. We are expecting to get that information hopefully this summer, David. And then just to clarify, this is for the construction support component. So this is not for construction capital. This is for support.
What does that mean?
So capital, construction capital is like a major change that added costs in the field for construction, like additional material, additional labor was needed to change something that was unforeseen in the field. That would be construction capital. Construction support is Caltrans administration of the construction contract. So they have staff, they have inspectors, resident engineers on site, and the budget got blown.
So this gets back to Commissioner Johnson's original question is, why wasn't this anticipated, since it's not really increasing the cost of the actual on-the-ground construction? Why wasn't these costs anticipated in the original contract for the project? And I guess a related question to that is, what percentage of the support does this additional cost overrun represent? Is it like 2% or is it like 20%? It's, how significant is this additional requirement?
I could have that for you in a second. David, if you want to chime in at any point, you can.
There's a couple things I want to say. Is one, we take our job very seriously, and we do not intend to overspend. And one of the things that we found is that initially we actually dropped the ball, and we have to own that. We should have asked for more. There was a bust in our estimate on the support costs originally, and then once we found that out, which is we told RTC staff about a year ago that we had found the error. And one of the things I wanted to say too is that I wanted to give kudos to Sarah and then our project manager Madeline, is that once we knew about the error, we initiated, I believe, weekly status meetings to make sure that we were tracking the costs. So it wasn't like we just bumbled along and then determined, okay, here's how much more it's going to cost. It was, hey, let's cut costs wherever possible. So first we had the error. Then second, Caltrans found it necessary to use consultant staff for inspectors and REs because we've had a difficult time staffing here in Santa Cruz. And that's more expensive. And so that has caused the burn rate to be more than anticipated. However, in an effort, Sarah is constantly pushing us, where can we cut costs? Where can we cut costs? We've gone from 6 consultant staff to 2 because using Caltrans staff is cheaper. So I just wanted to let you know that there are measures that we're taking to try to cut costs wherever we can. And then additionally, the project is a complex project. It's right downtown Highway 1, and so there's been quite a few contract change orders, and so that takes staff time. And so in the end, I think the message I want to give to the commissioners is that, one, we take our job very seriously. We don't like to make mistakes, and we did make one. But additionally, we're trying to make sure that we're keeping costs as tight as we possibly can.
Could I follow up, ask a follow-up question? Since Caltrans did make a mistake, and I'm not sure what the impact of that was, does Caltrans have any funding source that the agency can draw on to correct the to pay for that, to take the essentially the responsibility and the burden of the additional cost that could have been theoretically in the original grant and cover those costs rather than making it a burden on the commission?
Unfortunately, no. Not that I know of. There is no fund to pull from.
Do we know what the dollar value of that mistake was?
I just looked up the original budget for construction support was about $3.9 million total, and this is a $3 million request. So now the new estimated or the new budget for construction support is $6.9 million, assuming the commission approves the item today, and that's about an 80%.
But we want to remember, though, part of it is the estimate we missed, but then a good part of it also is the increased costs of using consultants to do the inspection.
Do you know what the breakdown is?
I don't know if we have that, the breakdown of what it cost, but we could look into that, of what the difference it would have been between using Caltrans staff and consultant staff. Maybe we can make that as an action item.
Any additional comments or questions? Commissioner Koenig?
Thank you. So, I mean, I understand we don't have a lot of detail today. I mean, do you have any insight into, like, why the fundamental error happened in the first place? I mean, do you guys think it was a half-mile project when it's actually 1.2 miles, do you think it was, like, not as, you know, we were only going to 2 lanes instead of 2 with auxiliary lanes? I mean, was there some, like, fundamental miscalculation, or was it just staffing in Santa Cruz? I mean, we understand that's always a challenge.
Yeah, and I think that's why when I talk about it, I'm going to talk about it in one of the three areas. So one of it was the miss, I'll call it. The other one was consultant costs. And then the third one is ongoing CCOs, contract change orders that require additional staff time that you're not expecting. So I believe you're asking about the first one. How did we make the mistake? Generally speaking, Caltrans does what we call a bottoms-up estimate. And that means that we have all of our units, all of our divisions, whether it's surveys, construction, environmental, they give us the hours they believe that it's going to take to do the job. And in this case, when we reviewed the error, there were a couple of bigger departments that actually, I believe that's correct, bigger departments that had not put in their hours. We should have caught that. Somebody should have said, hey, I think it might have even been surveys. Was it surveys? So surveys, which is, you know, the people going out and looking through the instruments and things, they're the ones that set the slope, set the grade and all that during construction. It's a big item. To miss the survey unit, that one hurts. So that's at least one of the ones that was missed.
Okay, thank you. I mean, I appreciate that additional detail. I guess where I'm at with this is, I mean, given, you know, 80% increase over the original cost estimates. I mean, I understand that, again, like has been said, that there's cost overruns. I just don't want to get into a situation where, you know, we're approving a significant change here, significantly more costs without the detail, and then, you know, maybe opening the door for the same thing to happen again in the future. But if this discussion's been going on for a year, I'd feel more comfortable looking at this again at our next meeting in August with that detail before approving it.
I'm not sure how much money we have left in, if that's a I believe that's a concern, Sarah, is it not? Okay, so, and Madeline might be able to address that. So the problem we have right now is if we do not get the additional funding and we run out, let's say, of support costs, support funding, then we wouldn't be able to pay our staff to actually watch over the contractor. And I'm not sure what would happen in that circumstance, but if you end up stopping the work, then the contractor can turn around and start claiming right-of-way delays, which means that they're saying we cannot do our work because you're not out there to inspect it. And therefore, we are now going to claim lost, you know, lost work, and it can get very expensive very quickly. So then we would be compounding, essentially we'd be compounding the costs, if that makes sense.
Got it.
If Director Weiss and I just had a little powwow, and I believe that if we were to just approve the repurposed earmark, because that repurposed earmark in the amount of $186,525.41 should be enough to get us to August, and then we could come back with additional information about the larger Measure D amount. Would that satisfy?
I mean, I would feel more comfortable with that. I mean, I think as was pointed out, the issue is we have, you know, Caltrans staff and then, you know, additional contractors, and I think that's where it can start to get a little bit opaque, and where I would just feel more comfortable having that additional level of detail and accountability before approving this, you know, larger, significant change in costs.
You know, I might actually ask Madeline if she would come to the mic, because I just want to make it clear that I am somewhat concerned about cutting it too close, and then if we end up, and then we would have to wait for the commission to meet again, and what if there's a month now of delay between when we have enough money? That would be of concern.
We don't meet in July either, so.
So, Madeline, I don't know how much we have left and what our burn rate is, or if, I know you may have to estimate.
Hi, good morning, commissioners. I'm Madeline Jacobson, project manager at Caltrans for this project. And I don't have internet connection, but I wanted to add one thing. One additional change of doing it in two parts is we would need to rework our cooperative agreement with the RTC twice then. So right now we have a draft agreement with this full change incorporated, and so that would be one additional revision. I'm trying to get my computer to load the internet to give you the exact figure of how much is remaining, but based on the invoices that we're receiving, it's possible we could make it to August. It is really tricky to manage the timing of when we get invoices from our construction team. And I will try to load my internet real fast.
Thanks.
All right, Commissioner Schifrin and then Commissioner Peterson.
We're going to have to pay the bill, so we'd be kidding ourselves to think we're not. I think I'd be comfortable approving the recommendation and asking for a report at our August meeting that justifies the, you know, the expenditures. I would also want to ask our director a question. Given his long experience with the CTC, whether there's any chance that the commission could go to the CTC and ask for a special allocation based on the fact that this was an error that is going to reduce the limited local funds by a not insignificant amount due to an error that was not really a commission.
I would say there's almost no chance the California Transportation Commission would approve that.
No harm in asking.
Yeah, I mean.
Commissioner Peterson?
Yeah, thank you. I was just curious if there is an amount of money. I mean, it sounds like 130-ish will get us, you know, possibly almost to the next meeting, and at which point we could receive more information and some of the answers to the questions we've been asking. So is there some amount of money, you know, less than $3 million that would get us across that threshold so that we could make sure that we have all the information that we need before allocating the full amount?
Based on what we know today, the repurposed earmark amount of $186,000 should get us to August.
Is that it?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, Commissioner Montesino.
Yeah, just a question. Are we not meeting a TPW?
Yes, we will have a meeting on the 20th.
Why can't we put it off till then?
So I guess the question would be, do we have enough to go to defer till the 20th based on what we have now? Is that my understanding of the question?
Yeah.
And then can we get the additional information by the 20th and analyze it?
I suspect not, just because we've made the request and we were told we would get the information in August timeframe. Is that?
Well, I know that our construction staff has been working on it. Madeline, you might have more of a status on that, but we're actually making faster progress than we were expecting. And so, so my main concern is that we don't run out. That's where suddenly now we're compounding the error. Does that make sense? So like you run out, you stop the contractor, and then he comes back and says, now you owe me another million because I can't do my job. So now we're actually not only behind the amount that we're asking for, but we're getting farther behind. And that would be my main concern.
Commissioner Johnson.
Thank you, Chair. So I'm hearing a few things here. I'm hearing from our executive director that we have very little leverage, and ultimately $3 million is going to be paid. I'm also hearing that if we go short, don't provide the proper amount of funding, we're kind of shooting ourselves in the foot because it could lead to delays and more problems and added expense. So, you know, the emotional side, I think, of this, I'll speak for myself, of the RTC is that we don't think this is fair. In the future, perhaps we can make adjustments that prevent this type of subsidy that is, and again, I respect Caltrans and the work that they do. I do know, however, that human nature is if you feel that you have a backup and you're always going to be able to rely on, you know, the parents coming in and providing you with money that you spend. Sometimes that doesn't lead to the best type of management, and you make mistakes and other people pay for them. But I'm inclined to kind of, you know, not go on a fool's errand and say, yeah, we're going to just, you know, give you 100 and some thousand right now. But let's just look at this, you know, maturely and saying we're probably going to have to pay the money. Is now a good time to do it with the supporting evidence that Commissioner Koenig expects, or do we just do it incrementally and 200,000 now or later? I think my inclination is, even though I think a little bit upset, but at the same time, let's face reality. And if this is should we just do this now and get supporting evidence after the fact?
Commissioner Rotkin.
I agree with Randy and Andy's earlier point about this. I think I appreciate Manu raising what he raised. I think by now people understand we're pretty upset about this, but you know, taking the risk of having this thing fall short is not worth it. I without doing that, I think we can just say we're very unhappy about this, but I don't think we have a choice. I think we should deal with it now and be done with it.
All right. Seeing no commissioner.
We will get a report back, however, in August about what exactly, we got some detail, but full detail on what exactly happened.
Yes. I do have a quick question as well. So it's mentioned in the staff report, and I think this is, when you're talking about getting additional information from Caltrans, I think that's what's mentioned in the staff report, that you requested backup documentation for staffing and on-call consulting services to date. We don't have the information yet, but then it says, Caltrans costs have not been verified against what is allowed in the cooperative and funding agreements. So when we're talking about what is allowed, are we referring to a dollar amount, an amount of additional contracts or consultants? And so I'm trying to determine what kind of allowance we're comparing against to determine if that allowance has already been exceeded and if adding this additional $3 million will cause it to become exceeded. I'm not quite sure what the allowance is that we're referring to in the staff report.
So the additional information that we requested was information about Caltrans staff time, because sometimes people make mistakes. They do their timesheet and they accidentally charge the wrong project. So maybe that's happening on a grand scale, maybe not. We don't know. The other thing is, same thing with consulting services. I've been asking a lot of questions about how the Caltrans manages their on-call consultants, and we haven't gotten very many answers back. So it would, you know, as a public official managing the project, I would want to have a little bit more comfort in knowing that these charges that are being requested to go to the RTC are actually for people working on our project.
Right.
Simply put. So just, you know, there's a list of allowable things that you can, that Caltrans could bill to the project that fit within construction support. So our intent, once we receive this information, is to review that and make sure that the charges are allowed per the co-op.
Right. So I guess that's my concern, right, is if we get that information back and we find out that the staff time and consulting services are already in excess of what's allowed in the cooperative and funding agreement, what does it mean if we're about to approve $3 million in additional staff time and consulting if we're already over what's in excess of the agreement? Do we just modify the agreement, or are we in some kind of violation of something that could put the project at risk anyways? That's to I think, to Commissioner Koenig's point, is we're expected to make informed decisions. And I do have a concern about us not making an informed decision and just saying, here's the money because we're going to have to do it anyway. But so that's kind of the base of my question, is how do we know that we're not funding additional services and staff time in excess if we are already in excess and we don't know?
Can I try to answer that? I think one of the things, so essentially what's happening is the way I look at it is that Sarah is asking for an audit, if you will. We're going to go back and look to see, has everything been charged properly? So let's say you do approve today, and we find that there's $300,000 that should have been charged elsewhere, and it's like, okay, well, we put in $3 million, it should have been 2.7. I believe we could go back and just say, okay, $300,000 of savings, we're going to amend the cooperative agreement and we're going to drop it to 2.7, not 3. So in other words, you're not, because it's measure money, it can be given or it could be subtracted depending on what the audit shows.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you.
It suggests an up to figure would be a way to think about this.
Yeah. All right. No further comments or questions from commissioners?
So,
Director Weiss.
I just want to note one thing. In our staff report, we reference in the resolution attachment C, which was the amendment to the contract. We did not have time to finalize that in time for the meeting, but of course we'll finalize that, and it would be consistent with whatever action you take.
All right. Thank you. No further comments. Okay, we will bring it back to the commission for discussion, deliberation, and a vote. Commissioner Rotkin.
Move that we approve the staff recommendation, adding a letter thanking Sam Farr for this distant earmark that we got, changing the language to up to $3 million, dollars, which will be confirmed by an audit that we'll get back. I don't want to use too technical a term, but a clear review in August of what exactly went wrong and the real numbers that come out here. That's my motion.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. If I could get clarification on the motion. So the motion being up to $3 million, is that to suggest that the funding authorization is not in excess of what is required to keep the project going until we can confirm that the full $3 million is required?
Exactly. But okay. They can spend up to $3 million just not so the project isn't stalled or broken up into two parts, mm-hmm. and et cetera, et cetera.
Okay. Further comments or questions from the commission?
Just a clarification. Is there any problem with the motion from Caltrans' point of view?
I was looking over to a project manager who also has a lot of experience in this as well. I don't see a problem with the up-to provision. I believe that I am correct in that if we did find a savings, that we could modify the cooperative agreement. Madeline, would that be your judgment as well?
That's consistent with my understanding. And also, just the way that our cooperative agreements and billing work is it's as the project progresses. So there wouldn't be anything billed ahead of the work completed.
So we're not saying spend $3 million?
It's reimbursement basis.
Right, correct. So. We're not spending $3 million. We're going as we're going along with the project. And then that gives us time to do a report back to the commissioners.
Okay. Commissioner Brown?
Thank you. I just wanted to make a quick comment on the question of cost overruns and how we navigate those and the particular elements of this case. First, I want to say that while we don't expect or want cost overruns to be the regular course of doing business, they are. In fact, in my 8 years in public office, I believe one project across a wide range of agencies and government entities has come in under segment 5 of the rail trail project is the only one. So it's sort of, I'm kind of responding to Mr. Peoples' comment as well, because I had thought the same thing that Commissioner Schifrin suggested. And so to say that it is expected is not that we accept it, it's just the reality. And that brings me to the point that came from our Caltrans rep that we don't know how much of this is related to the miss, but some of it is related to cost overruns that are because it is, let's just recall, it is difficult to find people to do this work for government in our area. And when we have consultants doing that work, or Caltrans does, it costs more. So, that's just something that we need to acknowledge, and rather than saying, well, this is a big Caltrans error, let's make Caltrans try to fix it and we're unhappy. If you want the highway, you want the highway. I don't want the highway, and yet I continue to vote for these motions, these recommendations, because that's the deal we made. And so I will vote yes today. It's highway money, I think that we, while we can be disappointed, we ought to be realistic about the space for consulting and constructing these projects. I'll stop there.
Thank you. Commissioner Peterson?
Thank you. I don't feel fully comfortable allocating up to the full amount of the $3 million because I feel like we don't have the full amount of information that we need to make an informed decision. And I don't think that I have definitive answers to whether or not we can recoup additional funding based on the results of the audit, or if Caltrans does have additional funding opportunities available. I think both of the answers that we received to those questions were not definitive. They were most likely, we think. And if we had a clear yes or no, I would feel comfortable proceeding. But at this point, especially based on the lack of clarity of those two questions, I wouldn't personally feel comfortable going up to the full $3 million, but I would feel comfortable going up to an amount that would not jeopardize the progress of this project.
Commissioner Koenig?
Thank you. Couldn't we always hold an emergency meeting, you know, once we actually got this information, and if we were in jeopardy of running out of funds in the account? I mean, it sounds like, you know, we may or may not be able to get to August 1st with the $186,000 from the federal earmark being repurposed. And if for some reason we were in jeopardy of falling short of that, we could hold an emergency meeting. Now, I'd probably fall in July, which is not easy, but I think as long as we had a quorum, and obviously we've had extensive discussion on this, and we had the information that's being requested, we could be in good shape.
Commissioner Gittleson, and then Commissioner Montesino.
I will vote yes, because I want to see the project proceed, but I have two questions. Caltrans works in this county, and they understand that we need consultants, or we need outside help, and that it's difficult to find staff or people within the thing. And so that should be sort of in the contractor bid, so to speak. So that's, I think that that should be up when the RTC allocates funds for this. It should be a knowing bid. That's one thing. And then I also think I have a question. Because the cost overruns are over 80% of the original bid. Is there a way to have Caltrans be, in short words, fined for being so out of proportion of the original bid? Those are my two questions.
So in regards to the first question, I actually agree with you. This idea that knowing that in areas of particular difficulty with staffing, that we do need to do a good job of making sure that we add additional funding. And that's one of the things also I wanted to convey to the commission, too. Lessons learned. You have two other major projects coming down, you know, segments in this corridor, and we plan to use the lessons learned from the first segment. And I think that's probably one of them is, you know, what is it going to take in terms of consulting? In terms of a fine on Caltrans, I'm not sure I would recommend that against myself, but it's an interesting concept. Again, we take our jobs seriously, and we try not to make mistakes, and we try to, you know, do projects as efficiently as we can, but unfortunately mistakes do happen. And then the last thing I'll mention is that, remember, this is three parts. There's three parts to the overage. One is the error originally, two, it's the cost of doing the consulting, and three, the ongoing contract change orders also are adding to the cost of support. So thank you.
I'm going to go to Commissioner Montesino and then Commissioner Peterson. And then just quickly, I'd like to note after this, we are going to arrange a little bit and go to item 37 first, because we only have our consultants available until noon. So that's only 20 minutes. So I will ask that we keep our comments brief so that we can get moving forward on to the next item.
Yeah, just, you know, I'm supportive of the measure. You know, I trust Caltrans is not, you know, the explanation that you relayed and the information that's going to be come forward in the future. I'll trust that's what we're doing, and we cannot, you know, stop this project from moving forward. It's a really benefit to, I know, my community. So thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Peterson?
Thank you. I like to say that I trust Caltrans as well, and I think we have a really good working relationship, but I also feel that we have a responsibility as a commission and allocating tax dollars to do our due diligence and make sure that we have all the information that we need to make these informed decisions. And based on that, I would like to propose a friendly amendment to the motion to allocate up to $1 million, which I believe will very clearly get us to the point of which we can have additional information that we require. Thank you.
I know it's intended friendly, but it's not. It's not accepted as a friendly amendment. You could make an amendment and we could vote on it. But.
Sure.
Commissioner Koenig?
Sure. Thank you. I mean, I agree. Trust Caltrans, and but verify. And how is it that we've been having this discussion for a year and we show up at this meeting being asked to approve this without the details, without a finalized contract, and without even knowing how much freaking money is in the bank? I would propose a substitute motion that we authorize recommended action 2, repurposing $186,525 of federal earmark funds to this project for the construction support component. And if we are at risk of running out of funds before the August meeting, that we authorize the chair to call an emergency meeting.
I'll second that.
Call the question.
Can I just, if we call an emergency meeting, would we have to have a majority of the board present?
A quorum.
Yeah.
For a quorum?
You would have to have a quorum.
Okay, that's going to be.
I call the question on the substitute motion.
Okay. Quick clarification for the process here. If there's still discussion going on, do we need a vote on the call to question?
Yeah.
Okay, so I still have a. I'd like to ask Commissioner Koenig if, based on the concern of not having a quorum for a substitute, or excuse me, an emergency meeting, if you would accept a friendly amendment to your motion to add what Commissioner Peterson said. So instead of calling an emergency meeting, authorizing up to $1 million instead of three.
So we would be authorizing up to $1 million and the ability to call an emergency meeting? Or
sure. Yeah, we can add that in there too. Or keep what you had and authorize up to $1 million in the meantime. So that hopefully we won't need an emergency meeting, but it will fill the gap. And it still gives us time to get additional information so we're not authorizing the full $3 million blindly.
Sure.
Okay. You seconded that?
Yes.
Do you approve that? Okay. All right, so we have a call to question. I don't see any further comments or questions at this time, so do I still need a vote on the call to question, or can we just go ahead and start with the substitute motion and vote there, and then?
You only need a vote if somebody doesn't want to vote.
You can take action on the substitute motion. I would just note for the commission that your staff recommendation today had other items as a component part to that. So the motion that you would be acting on right now is really only relevant to the first portion of the resolution, which was the one that authorized the co-op amendment up to $3 million. So after the commission votes on that, then you're if that passes, you still need to take action on the other portions of the resolution.
Right.
Okay. Okay. So we will start. We start with the substitute motion first, correct? Okay.
Substitute motion.
All right. Can we have a roll call?
Certainly.
Oh, wait. Hold on. It sounds like we need clarification. The substitute motion, Commissioner Koenig, correct me if I'm wrong, but that we are repurposing the federal earmark, as mentioned in the staff report, authorizing up to $1 million in the additional costs, and the opportunity to call an emergency meeting if needed in the case that $1 million and the earmark does not cover the costs between now and the August meeting. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yes.
And then we'll come back to a main motion.
We will come back to the main motion after the substitute motion, as is.
Or yes. Go back to the main motion.
Correct. So you would
yes,
consider
I will
the substitute
turn
motion.
To staff to confirm. Okay.
You would consider the substitute motion first, and then there are additional actions should you return to either the original staff recommendation if the substitute motion fails, or you would just pick up the other items that were not accounted for in the substitute motion if the substitute motion passes.
Excuse me.
Roll call.
It's also possible for the maker of the substitute motion to put the whole thing in it as well, so you don't have to do two separate votes, right?
You can do that. There are the remaining items. If the maker of the substitute motion and the second agree to that, you could include the other items that were listed in the resolution.
Sure, if that's clear enough to both the commissioners and staff, I'll include the other items. Which do.
I agree.
Okay. All right.
Do we get to have discussion on the substitute motion?
I called the question.
Called to question. If we're not prepared to make a vote on the substitute motion, we will need to make a vote on whether or not we are prepared to call to question.
Yep.
Well, to continue this, what I consider becoming a more and more ridiculous discussion,
it really
I will
is.
Not call for it.
All right, let's go ahead and do a roll call vote.
Okay.
Yes, Madam Chair. Commissioner Koenig.
Aye.
Commissioner Rodkin.
No.
Commissioner Pegler.
No.
Commissioner McPherson.
No.
Commissioner Peterson.
Aye.
Commissioner Kristen Brown.
Aye.
Commissioner Montesino.
No.
Commissioner Schifrin.
No.
Commissioner Sandy Brown.
No.
Commissioner Quinn.
Not here.
Commissioner Johnson.
Aye.
And Commissioner Gittleson.
No.
Fails.
The motion fails.
Great, thank you. So now, yes, I'm just give me a second, Commissioner Rock. Can I appreciate your guidance, but I've got it. So now we will go to the original motion. Do we need to repeat the original motion?
Staff recommendation.
Well, it's just a staff recommendation,
plus
correct?
A letter to Sam Farr and up to $3 million. Change the language to up to $3
million. And you're including the other two, all of the staff recommendation, correct? Yes. Okay.
And staff understands that, recognize you do have a draft of the cooperative agreement. So the cooperative agreement language would also represent that it's up to $3 million for the additional construction cost,
exactly.
Construction support costs.
Chair?
Yes.
With the expectation that if during the audit the full $3 million is not what was it, not fully represented, but there are cost savings, that it should come back to the commission.
Correct, or as this commissioner, the representative from Caltrans indicated, they may not actually spend that money because it is a reimbursement basis.
Perfect.
Well, we're going to get a report.
Correct.
That's part of the motion,
right? In August.
Can we have a roll call vote, please?
Yes, Madam Chair. Commissioner Koenig.
Aye.
Commissioner Rodkin.
Aye.
Commissioner Pegler.
Aye.
Commissioner McPherson.
Aye.
Commissioner Peterson.
Aye.
Commissioner Kristen Brown.
Aye.
Commissioner Montesino.
Yes.
Commissioner Schifrin.
Aye.
Commissioner Sandy Brown.
Aye.
Commissioner Quinn. Commissioner Randy Johnson.
Aye.
And Commissioner Gittleson.
Yes.
Okay, the motion passes unanimously.
Great, thank you. All right, so as mentioned, I'm going to move the agenda around just a little bit. We're going to jump to item 37 so that we have...